Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
And Grand Rising, thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and as always, we appreciate you for being a part of the solution. And today is our men-only discussion, and we are taking a look at the effects of integration and that need for Caucasian validation. And how has that affected the community, our sense of empowerment and autonomy in being able to create entrepreneurship? What happens when we are still stuck on the idea as African Americans that we need other people's validation? How does that cripple us? Well, the men are going to talk about that today. And women, we want you to feel free to call in 515-605-9325. We'll take a couple of moments during the breaks and discuss what we heard, but mostly we want to listen to the men as they recognize this issue. We'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Invited this a male guest
and
to join in this
conversation. Joined by our co-host. And we're joined
there
by our co-host Kareem Hamid, and our guest who will discuss this topic. How has integration and Caucasian validation caused harm to our community? And is that something we can revert in terms of our mindset? So we want you to listen in, and men, please call in 515-605-9891 and press 1 so that our host, Kareem Hamid, can hear, see you on the switchboard. And open your mic so we can hear your voice. We need to examine this because all of the ethnic communities, African Americans, tend to be still stuck in a mindset of dependency. And why is that happening? It's been over 150 years after the end of slavery. Why are we still believing we need to be validated by white people? So let's see, have we been joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid?
Yes, I'm here, and
wonderful.
You have framed this broadcast correctly. It's not a statement we're making. This is a question we are asking ourselves. Has integration helped or harmed the African-American community? Has Caucasian validation, what I mean by Caucasian validation is that if there is not a Caucasian influence or taking part in projects that we begin ourselves, do we value our own thinking, our own efforts, independent of Caucasian participation or influence? Sometimes, and we have to admit some of these things, this is the aftermath of a very traumatic experience that we have gone through, and that is the unique, horrendous condition of slavery, where everything had to be validated by those that held us in bondage. Are we still under that influence? These are questions we're asking, and I believe they're very important questions to ask. I have with us as members of the panel, I ask you to press one on your phone, Abdul Shaheed, press one on your phone. All right. And Imam Delacy Umar Phillips, press one on your phone, and that will identify you. Okay. And Imam Michael Hameen, I see you have already pressed one on your phone, and I'm looking forward for a guest on your studio board, also Naima, to take part in this wonderful, but in this important question and analysis that we're presenting this morning. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. And any male, this is not negating the value of females. This is not. Your input is very important, but I believe periodically we as males need to talk with each other at a gut level honest, being gut level honest with each other as we address certain issues and concerns that affect us as a community. I want to share with you a short address by our beloved Dr. Martin Luther King to somewhat set the tone for this broadcast, the male-only conversation. I want to share with you an address that he gave, and I think this will somewhat bolster or support this effort that we are making here. So I ask you, have patience with me. I've queued it up, and may we listen very intently to the words of our past freedom fighter, so that those words sink within our hearts and our minds. And here we go. Oh, wait a minute. One, hold on. Now I'm telling you, they try to embed or remove him. Okay, here we go. Hold on one moment.
Yeah.
I need to attach my outside speaker. So
yeah.
Here, clearly what is being said. This is very important. I always play this address prior to the all-male conversation so that we can calibrate our thinking and strengthen our minds and our hearts. Okay, here we go again. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful. Okay. That is the just
those of us who live past.
Let me stop this here.
Okay,
praise be to Allah. That is only part of the address. Part of it, Dr. Martin Luther King says that there are certain things that we must do for ourselves. That there are certain things that no one can do for you. No Johnsonian civil rights bill, no Lincolnian emancipation proclamation will free us. He says we have to have the courage to reach down into our own soul with self-asserted manhood and write our own emancipation proclamation, write our own declaration of independence. No one can do this for us. So with that in mind, that's to set the tone for what we are presenting this morning as integration helped or harmed the African American community, and how has Caucasian validation harm the African-American community. I see I'm going to open up the mic of my invited guest, and if you would share as briefly as possible, introduce yourself as briefly as possible so that we can enter into the substance and meat of this conversation. Okay, I'm opening up the mic of Michael Hameen. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Michael Hameen.
Alaikum assalam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Michael Hameen. I'm a host of Not Just Talk on AM360.org Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern. For a time, I hosted a program in Birmingham, Alabama, on Dr. A.G. Gaston's radio station back in the 80s. Actually, it was the 90s, early 90s. And I'm reminded of my time in Birmingham, Alabama. I attended the city council meeting, and one of the the civil rights leaders there. He stated in terms of the Montgomery bus boycott, that we had an opportunity after the boycott, we had an opportunity because of the type of organization that was done to get African American rides to their jobs and so forth, that we had an opportunity to actually start our own transportation company, but we didn't. And that reminded me of something. That reminded me of something that I'm sorry. You just wanted an introduction, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I'm aware of your extensive involvement in the human rights struggle, but I'm asking for you if you were to introduce yourself,
okay.
Not what you've
right.
done. You know, because boy, you've done so much, my brother. That can
okay.
go on for the next hour. If you would just introduce yourself.
I apologize. I'll stop there. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Okay. Now, we have another caller on the line. If he would briefly give a brief introduction of himself, another guest. This is Abdul Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum. Would you introduce yourself to the listening audience, my brother?
Yes, sir. Walaikum assalam, and thank you for having us on, Brother Imam. This is Abdul Shaheed. I'm the host of Optimal Health, and I'm also a certified symptometry health coach. And we can talk a lot about what happened to our people. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Okay. I don't see Imam DeLacy Omar Phillips with us yet. If you're on the line, press 1 on your phone. Imam DeLacy Omar, and I will unmute your mic, and you can introduce yourself to the listening audience. Okay, I think this might. No, that's not him. I know that's not his number. But alhamdulillah. Naima, is there any of your invited guests? Are they on your studio board? If so, would you open up their mic and they can give a brief introduction of themselves, if you would?
Not as yet, but I will let you know as soon as one appears.
Okay.
And I, again, invite those who are listening in. Men, please call in 515-605-9891 and press 1 so that our host, Kareem Hamid, can see your hand up and open your mic. All right.
Okay. And please don't wait until we're a few minutes.
I have one male that would like to participate. I believe this is Minister Plump. I'm going to open your mic if you'd like to give a brief introduction of yourself. Do you want to wait until we get into the subject matter?
You asking Minister Plump that?
Yeah, I'm asking you. Do you want him to go ahead and just briefly introduce himself if he's going to participate in this conversation?
Well,
okay,
yes,
well,
he is definitely welcome to participate
in
the conversation.
So, Minister Plum, give us a brief introduction of yourself, and of course, you know, the subject matter has integration and Caucasian validation caused harm to the African American community, and we're looking at how it has impacted entrepreneurship and independent spirit of self-sufficiency. So, please give us your brief introduction, and then we'll continue.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Wayon Yah Shalom, we don't die, we multiply. Black power forever, and black as beautiful as you are, our beloved sister, Naima Lateef. Yes, this is Minister Robert Floyd Cole Plump Foundation, I am the president and chairman of the board of directors of the People's March Incorporation, Honey Jail Music Incorporation, Plump Music Productions, and the Harold Washington Foundation is a nonprofit organization. And I started in terms of community involvement and activism.
Hold that thought right there. Hold that thought right there. We just need the introduction, and then get into the details.
Thank you.
All right. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. All right. We'll your mic up. Unless you turn again.
Okay. I don't see my other guest, but we have enough in the center of this table to dine off of for the next 2 hours.
The question
is, has integration helped or harmed the African-American community and the mindset of Caucasian validation? How is it harmed?
We had a couple more just kept appeared on our switchboard. Men, please press 1. This is the men-only discussion. So we can open up your mic again. Let's see. And we have area code 773-450. Introduce yourself, brother, so that we can know who is speaking, and then we'll proceed with the subject. Go right ahead.
As-salamu alaykum. How are you doing, my brother? Good morning. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
What's up with that? How you all doing?
As-salamu alaykum. Good morning to you.
Hey, you know what's interesting to me, y'all?
Yes.
How these people, because I watched that movie Wakanda forever. I'm trying to figure out how.
Hold on. Before we get into your thoughts.
Yeah,
hold on a second. We just want to make sure that the listening audience can identify your voice when you speak, so we just need this is Brother Obadiah from Chicago, correct?
Right.
Okay, well, just hold that thought. Okay, because every time someone speaks, I pull their name up on the screen. For those who are watching, it's on Facebook.
Oh, great.
So we just want to make sure that people can identify your voice as you speak. So hold your thought and your question, and we'll get back to that. And Brother Kareem will be leading this discussion about has integration and Caucasian validation caused harm for the African American community. So we've got our two on our switchboard, so let's go right ahead.
Yes, is there anyone else that would like to enter a brief introduction of yourself, and then we can enter into the meat of this conversation? Is there anyone else, Sister Naima?
Men, please press 1. And I don't memorize all the numbers. I've got about 50 numbers in my head, but you know, everybody.
If they have pressed 1 on their phone, then that's an indication that they want to contribute to the subject matter that's being addressed this morning. It is very important that we stay on topic. Very important that we stay on topic, that we not veer off into other subject matter. This is very, how can I say, it's a very direct question, and it is important that we stay on message and stay on topic. You know, and I love us. I love my people. I love all of humanity. But sometimes we will go into personal embellishment on a subject that truly is affecting the whole community. We sometimes go off of that subject matter, and we enter into personal embellishment and ego. This is too important for that. Let us stay on topic. The question is, has integration helped or harmed the African-American community? If so, a brief explanation for your answer, please. And has Caucasian validation, how has it helped or harmed the African-American community? That is the subject matter this morning. So if there isn't anyone else on your board, I want to open up the mic.
Before we do that, Brother Kareem, need to take a quick break. And then when we come back, then we can start the conversation. So for those who are listening online, hold on. We'll be right back. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, feel free to write in your comments, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment. So stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is Joan Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategy with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Unmuted.
Assalamu alaikum.
And we're back.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Naima. We are going to now enter into a discussion of this important subject matter. Has integration helped or harmed the African-American community? And accompanying that, the mindset of Caucasian validation. How has that helped or harmed the African-American community? I'm calling upon Michael Hameen, if he would, share as succinctly with us and as clear as possible your answer to this question. And Michael Hameen.
Yes, thank you. With God's name, merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. Integration and acculturation into Caucasian society. A lot of work was done by Dr. King and others during what's often called the Civil Rights Movement. I prefer to call it the Freedom Movement, as many others do. It has not helped us because another factor in terms of needs of the soul is that we be integrated with ourselves as African Americans or the ethnic group African American. Toni Brown spoke oftentimes, may God rest her soul. I'm sorry, not Toni Brown. Toni Morrison. She talked about this validation idea of Caucasian society, in terms of this eye watching us. So it, in my opinion, has not helped us. And oftentimes this eye has affected the way that we interact with ourselves as a ethnic group. And it's something that we need to be aware of, and the question in terms of how has either integration or Caucasian validation, this question comes to mind, how has either of those helped us in terms of being free and being conscious of our responsibility for building community life? And I'll stop there.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I'm over here. Okay, Brother Abdul Shaheed. Assalamu. I muted you. Okay, Brother Abdul Shaheed, would you share your reflections with us, if you would, please, on has integration helped or harmed the African-American community and the mindset of the Caucasian validation, how has that affected the African-American community?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And what I'd like to say about that, just starting off, integration should have been a strategy for our people to use to gain the freedom, the justice, and the equality that have been missing. We had a community life before integration. And that community life, we were building ourselves back up from the remnants of slavery. And we were doing just fine. Our people did not want integration. They really wanted freedom, justice, and equality. They were being denied services. And services were being taken away from them. So this is what happened. It was the strategy that we used that interrupted the natural growth and pattern for community life. And that strategy, since we didn't have one, was used against us. And that strategy is still being used against us today. So I would say that integration and the validation of Caucasian people have harmed us tremendously. So it made us to compare ourselves to Caucasian rather than compete with them. Integration was a great opportunity to compete on all levels. And I think that's what our people wanted, an opportunity to compete and not be held down or held back and not be denied freedom, justice, and equality in a free society, no more, no less. But we see how we were denied that, even until today. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Abdul Shaheed, praise be to Allah. Thank you. You know, now let me share some of my opinion on integration. I believe we did not understand fully what we were asking for. And if we did, it went off course. For me, integration meant having access to all public spaces, to having access to the public spaces in the communities in which we live and in this country. Our tax dollars helps support public space like parks, libraries, community centers. Those are public spaces. That is what we call freedom space. Freedom space. We were denied access to that freedom space. I believe we didn't truly understand how integration could work against us. I'm somewhat against where we made a mistake was that Caucasian validation part that is key to this conversation. Prior to integration, we had communities that were somewhat self-sufficient to a degree. We had our own stores, businesses, funeral parlors, insurance companies. There was even an African American that owned a automobile manufacturing plant. We can look at Rosewood, Tulsa. We can look here in St. Louis, the greater Oville area, where Madam C.J. Walker opened up the Poro Beauty College. There was a hospital that was built to service the African American community. It was named after the great freedom fighter Homer G. Phillips, and the great lady Annie Malone that worked with Madam C.J. Walker. They established what was called the Colored Waifs Home. The Colored Waifs Home. It is now called the Annie Malone Orphan Home. That area was very prominent. It was somewhat self-sufficient. There were businesses. Matter of fact, the high school that was in that area is Sumner High School, the first African-American high school open to African-Americans west of the Mississippi River, a landmark. And it produced doctors, lawyers, business management. It produced very valuable addition to our community and us as up. But here is where the Caucasian validation worked against us. When we were enticed to take our businesses, to take our wealth and shop in Caucasian stores that had been exclusive for Caucasians and excluding the African American customers, whites only. So we had built our own institutions. Our own entrepreneurial spirit became activated, and we were doing for ourselves. But that Caucasian validation part, by being under that mindset of judging everything by what do Caucasians think about this? Do they endorse this? Their value is more valuable than ours. Their ice is more colder than ours. When the stores of the Caucasian was open to us through seeking Caucasian validation, we took our business, our money, and our wealth away from the economic efforts, the entrepreneurs that existed among us, that was us, and we flooded Caucasian businesses that we had once been denied. And as a consequence of that, our financial health began to suffer. We have to look at ourselves like others look at us. We are a market. We are a market. And it's not totally their fault. I'm not laying blame totally on them. But the idea of white validation truly harmed us, and our businesses began to falter because of lack of participation. And I believe that is where we are now. Although we are growing in the entrepreneurial spirit, that spirit has been reawakened in us. But I'm only addressing this to somewhat prime the engine, of doing for self, it's a shame that now our HBCU, our historically black colleges and universities are financially struggling now. The institutions of higher learning that was developed by us and for us are struggling now financially. So this is the consequence, I believe, of integration. We somewhat went too far with that. In the financial area, I believe that is where we were harmed most. It was not designed that we walk away from our own financial institution and begin to support institutions outside of the community that fed us and stabilized us and put a foundation up under us. I'm for integration in what we've called the freedom space, the public space, our parks, libraries, areas that is owned by all the citizens of this country, that we not be denied access to the public space. But there are some areas in our life that we must protect and know that we are facing stiff competition. We want to be able to compete in this world of ideas, thoughts, and finance. I'll stop right there. If there's anyone that would like to add to or address further this idea of integration, I'm focusing in on that integration to me meant access to the freedom space, access to our public places. But I believe we went too far on the financial side and walked away from our financial stability. Anyone that would like to share, you can begin to share now.
Assalamu alaikum. Brother Kareem, you have, I've got three on our switchboard now that I'd like to add to that briefly.
Yes,
so
yes, ma'am.
I can open. So I will open your mics in this order. Area code 773-450, area code 312-671, and area code 773-221. Just briefly, you're commenting on what was just said regarding the effects of integration and the need for Caucasian validation. Please stick to the topic. If you do not, I will shut your mic. Don't make me do that. We love you. Okay. Area code 773-450. Again, I remind the audience who you are and go right ahead with your comment.
Okay. Well, first of all, regarding the segregation, because of the way we came from the slavery system, where white folks ran everything, segregation, so we would have had to have some form of integration. I think one of the things that people forget is that when Dr. King and other people were fighting for that concept, the leaders such as Dr. King and people like that were killed off. They've done that repeatedly. Every time, you know, we take a step of doing something for ourselves, let's create a political party like the Black Panther Party, and they kill us. So it's important to know we had to have the integration, but the problem was this Caucasian following, like we got to be like white people. What, you know, the question I have was, what about our identity? And that's what I'm really feel like that needs to be addressed today, is what is our identity? I mean, it's enough for us at the very beginning when you're thinking you're trying to be black, but you're not getting success out of that. So if you're in a white-dominated society, you're trying to adapt to that society just to survive. So that alone creates an identity crisis of a massive sort, just to think, what do you have to do to fit into this particular program and work it? Now, some of us were fortunate enough to learn how to navigate that, and that's good in some respects. But I find as time has went on, even the idea of what we are is not proper. It's like it's been diverted to something else. So I have a problem with the idea of us trying to follow what white people want us to do. That's one of the problems we have, is that white people they tell us what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to believe in. They identify everything we do. If there's music, they call it gangster rap. We don't have anything to do with that. And it's just like the brother said, we had had out of slavery, we had all those things that we had needed. We came out with Rosewood and Tulsa and all those types of things. And what did the federal government do? They killed them. They brought in planes to destroy Tulsa so we couldn't have it after we had already done that. So what we have to do in modern times, as we out there de-identify ourselves and unify, because that's the bottom line. This whole piece that we're dealing with was about separating us from the core. And as long as we're separated, and just everything's like, we're separated because of religion. We're separated because of what color caste you are. We're separated because you got more money. We're separated because you got more education. We need to separation and unify. And then really within a week or two, white folks would be bowing to us because there's more of us than anybody else. And the fact that we keep following them is what's wrong. We will never be successful following a society like theirs that's dominating and about negativity. It does not have anything to do with building at all. It's about make money, let's get rich, I want to own everything, and that. But at the same time, at the end of the day, we don't need to follow them. We need to follow understanding, wisdom, and knowledge that was given to us before the system starts.
And all right. Well, thank you so much.
I appreciate you.
All right. Thanks so much.
Yes,
all right. And now I'm going to open the mic, 312-671, briefly address the issue of integration and its effect on the community.
We on Yashalom, hallelujah, and assalamu alaikum. This is Minister Plump again, Robert Floyd Plump. Yes, I do know, according to a fact, or the facts of integration has harmed the black community. It's no doubt they have, you know, kept us out of freedom, justice, equality, and economics as a priority. And even spiritually have kept us away from God's we are only. And I am thankful that, you know, we are introducing or reintroducing unity in the community. We are introducing black in black love. We are introducing information is a key to success. And black education is the very, very best of us to share success, breed success. The numbers in a way of life for us all don't lie. Anybody can lie. Black people, white, red, brown, and yellow. And they all have been lying all the time. See, so time now. And our time now is first the black man must stand up and be a man and protect and marry and remarry the black woman and protect the black woman and the children. Matter of fact, I'm thankful that I started with Emmett Till and keeping it simple and real, and I have ended up with the 2+ million black men that participated as a major under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Million Man March. And I'm going to continue to promote the world's greatest T-shirt. Naima, I got it right now in front of me, and I've been wearing it all the time, and it's from Blacktown. You know the other people got Chinatown, they got Jewtown, they got Greektown. Now we got Blacktown. And that was created by Rashida Ali's brother. And we promote on the world's greatest T-shirts, Black Love Matters Too. And the two is in your heart. And none but the pure in the heart and the righteous will see God. And the one of the most, that's on the front. And on the back, we say, we hold ourselves accountable for the condition of the communities, and we should support our efforts as we exercise change. And we must change. That is the one thing that's certain. To change is to go back to God, because we became disconnected from God. So now is God's will only that's going to matter, and what we do for God is the only thing that's going to last forever and ever.
All right.
And I thank
Thanks so much.
I thank
Plump.
A lot.
I'm going to see if I can squeeze in one more caller before the break. Thank you so much, Minister Plump. I appreciate you. Yeah, one more going to squeeze in before the call.
I have a caller on this. I also have a caller on this board that has been awaiting a considerable amount of time.
Yeah. Well, do you want to go to the break first and then take your call and then come back to my switchboard? Since we're at the top of the hour.
Ma'am.
Okay. Well, we'll take our break.
Yes.
And then we'll go back to the AM 360 board and take that call, and then we'll go to 773-221, and we will be right back after this quick message. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Back, you are listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. Today is our men-only discussion, and it's hosted by our co-host Kareem Hamid, and he's on our American Muslim 360 switchboard, and we've also got some callers on our switchboard here at the Female Solution. And the topic today is, has integration and Caucasian validation caused harm to the African-American community? Have we been crippled by believing that we must follow the culture of another group of people? Have our entrepreneurs been stifled and dismantled by our financial influx of money to those who previously excluded us as consumers? This is a strategy that empowered us or disempowered us. So we are back now, and we'll continue.
Okay.
The caller on the AM 360 switchboard. And then we'll come back to 773-221. You'll be next after that.
Okay. Error code 779-770. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
In regards to the conversation about integration, that was the biggest thing. That's the biggest scheme that was ever pulled on our people, and we fell for it. We already had everything. We were already doing some stuff. So when we tried to integrate with them, we fell into their trap. We was already doing some stuff. Like Elijah Muhammad said, we need a separate state for our people. But we already had that. We already had schools, churches. We already had integration. We only had
insurance companies, real estate companies. We had insurance companies, real estate companies. African American banks. I believe our greatest flaw was in the financial sector. We weakened ourselves financially.
What I was pointing out, brother, is this. When we fell for the scheme to set the table with them, go to the bathroom, et cetera, et cetera, we was already integrated, but only in the back door. We was already in the field with them in the houses, and they took care of their children. We was already with them all the time. But we wanted to go do it a different way. We already had all of those things. But anyway, that was my point, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, my brother, for your contribution. I want to open up the line of 727-7421. Please join the conversation. And the question is, has integration helped or harmed the African-American community? And how has the mindset of Caucasian validation helped or harmed us?
Assalamu alaikum. Abdul Salam Hamid, Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association. I was invited by Sister Martha Nyla. As far as the immigration question, subject, immigration did a great, great damage to the African American in the sense that we compromised our identity. We didn't appreciate our identity. We lost our identity very much by trying to mix and be as those who we were trying to integrate with. This is from Imam W.B. Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. And that's one of the greatest things. We just lost. Immigration caused us to lose our identity and trying to mix in and be other than who we were as a people. So that compromised us greatly. As far as, we can go on with many things, but and as far as the question of validation began and grew out of the idea this image of God being in the image of a man, and the image was a Caucasian. So this idea of being validated by the white man is because of that image. And if we listen to it, Bible, ministers, we know this. The Bible says, strictly it says, make no graven images of anything in the heavens or in the earth. Make no graven images. And graven means serious. Something is deathly. And if God say that, and then to turn around and to put a picture of something, of someone, of a human being, and call that God, then God must be in that image. And so if we say it doesn't matter, that doesn't matter. It matters quite a bit, because if it didn't matter, it wouldn't have been done. So just briefly, if we need to really think on that matter and know that when we see ourselves, other than ourselves, a Caucasian, and in fact, even if you put them in a black image, we still have gotten poisoned by that, and we still are doing other than what God has said in the Bible. And in the Quran, it is, there's no God but God. God is one. So I will stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. You know, we have fallen into another trap. I heard someone mention that we have an identity crisis. An identity crisis. And to refer to a whole people just as a color, black.
Right.
There are black dogs, there are black cats, there are black horses. Just black. It does not carry with it any redeeming value system that we adhere to. There was never a question as to whether we were black. Matter of fact, the colonizers made sure that we never forget that your skin is different than ours. What our struggle is that they claimed that we were not fully human. We were not a full human being, that we had no soul, that we were animals in human form. So to just identify ourselves as black is a trap for us. I would prefer that we identify what it means to be fully human and aspire to be that, because just the word black does not, it's not a good identifier of a race of human being. So our identity as just black carries with it no qualifier, no attachment to the human qualities that God has placed in all of us. They called it the civil rights movement, your rights as a citizen. But Malcolm and others identified it as a human rights movement. We need to know what it means to be human and to aspire to those attributes that solidify our humanity, us being human toward each other, us being human toward other people, us exerting and exemplifying the human qualities that God has placed in all human beings. So if we continue to use color-coded language to identify the human being, then we are falling into another trap. That's a bottomless pit that has no bottom to it. I would suggest that we begin to identify ourselves not just as black. What are you saying, black? Why can't we say, I like the descendants of slaves. Descendants of slaves. That does not cover all of us. But that definitely takes us from out of the scheme of the oppressors that we don't adhere to, color-coded language to identify us. We are more than just black. That's my answer to the identity crisis. Michael, you are waiting very patiently to share with us, if you would, please.
Yes, thank you. It's a lot to uncover. Dr. King, you played his focus on solving our problems and getting language straight, and he used the terminology black. During that time, we were calling ourselves Negroes, and the dignity that we gain by engaging the struggle, which really, in my opinion, had to focus on our humanity. We weren't considered, as you mentioned earlier, we weren't considered by many European as being fully human. And the process of chattel slavery and being followed up by the Jim Crow, 100 years of lynching, terrorism to keep African American people in their place was something that oftentimes we don't want to look at in terms of its effect on our movements today, the kind of conditioning that took place, and it is still in effect. James Farmer mentioned when he was asked about what happened to us after the passing of Dr. King and so forth, he was saying that when the doors opened up for us to engage ourselves in American society, we did not have a plan. So he was speaking of a group movement with a plan, and planners, basically you identify the planners as leaders. And lastly, Harry Belafonte shared a conversation that he had with Dr. King near the end of Dr. King's life. And Dr. King said he feared that we had integrated ourselves into a burning building. So Dr. King was not happy near the end of his life with what had taken place, the narratives that followed that great struggle for identifying our human dignity as a group, as an ethnic group, turned into a response to the kind of conditioning over many years, to where we begin to think that the white man's ice is colder and so forth, beauty standards. You know, if you look at those pictures, the dignified pictures of those engaged in the freedom struggle with Dr. King and others, you look at those pictures, you can see the great difference today in terms of moving away from those standards of dignity and self-esteem. And I'll stop there.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Michael. Naima, you have someone on your board that would like to share? If you would open their mic at this time, please.
Yes, area code 773221. We need you to address the topic of has integration and Caucasian validation caused harm to the African American community. Please address that topic and give us a brief thought. Go right ahead. 773221, check the mute on your mic. Check the mute on your phone.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth is said to have been a Jew and probably a rabbi. And the Hebrew word kosher means separate or separate. And separation is not a pejorative. It is also not segregation, and it's far better than integration. Both presidents, Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln, advocated separation, and the Nation of Islam has cited that and invoked that as the best and only, remedy, and I agree with that. We should look forward to kosher living, if you will. And members of Congress today, very few of any of them actually write the legislation they sponsor. So we should lobby for the national reparations referendum, primarily for Asiatic indigenous descendants of chattel slavery and native genocide, you see. And the proper nationality is Moorish American. African American is more of an ethnicity. Any thoughts on that?
All right. Thank you so much. And that was Andrew Nelson Bay from Chicago. Thank you so much for your comments.
Yes. You know, there are other ethnic groups that come to this country, and usually they'll form a community among themselves. The Haitians, I don't hear them complaining a lot now. They seem to be somewhat doing well, you know. They coalesce with each other. They open up businesses. They own real estate. They own apartment buildings. And I don't see them rushing to enter into a melting pot. God says that he has made you different colors, different tribes, so that you become acquainted with one another. Every ethnic group has their plus, have their celebrated attribute. And becoming acquainted with what each group has to offer has enriched this country. We have a contribution also. There is no one like us. No one is like, we are a unique new entity, that has been created on this earth. For me, the struggle is that we be human. We need to identify what it means to be human. Our behavior toward each other, in a lot of respects, is inhumane. Although we use the term black, Black Lives Matter, I'm black and I'm proud, but that does not bring with it some redeeming qualities and attributes. We need to know what it means to be human. And Almighty God identifies what it is, what it means to be human, So if we refer to the identifying creator, Almighty God, and what it means to be human, and we seek to achieve that, then we will meet all of our needs, all of our aspirations, all of our goals. I don't want to just be black. I want to be human. That is what was denied. And so this integration thing, I want to definitely point to the financial flaws in integration. Let me give you an example. We are the most degreed people of color on the earth. We excel in the higher academic institutions in this country. But we take that expertise, and it's almost like we stand on an auction block for the overwhelming cultures and the overwhelming the overwhelming ether. And we lend our best qualities to institutions that do not represent nor have our best interests at heart. Those that are qualified, you are educated to the point whereby they will hand you the reins of management of their concern. CEOs, financial advisors,
We need those people to come back home, to come back home and utilize their expertise to lift up, to lift us up as a people. But we somewhat see that Caucasian validation thing, accreditation by the predominant society. I'm hearing some background. Let me see if I can stop that. It has truly harmed us. There's nothing wrong with applying the best of yourself with those that are you. With those that are you. I'm still hearing the background noise. Okay. So that Caucasian validation part, we have to be independent thinkers. We have to value the potential that God has placed within us and trust that potential without anyone holding our hand or validating, well, yes, you're right because blah, 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 blah. No, we can meet our own needs without consulting with others. Trust the mind that God has given us. Trust the potential that God has placed in all of us as human beings. God has deposited that within every soul, the potential to be pure human and to establish oneself. We are giving our money away. We are giving our wealth away. And it seems like we are not bothered by that. Imam Muhammad mentioned this phrase. He said, there is such a thing as military occupation. He said, we are presently under economic occupation. Look throughout our community. Look throughout our neighborhood. And everyone else is doing business there and extracting our wealth from us and enriching themselves. So I cannot overemphasize the financial part of this. For we have very laudable plans, very laudable goals, but it's going to take a huge financial lift to realize, to bring our thoughts into material existence. And we should not ignore the financial arm of competition. We should be willing to compete. Sell to the world like the world sells to us. We have markets that are open now. That are open now, international market. There is a financial group that visited a community here in the United States, a community of African American, a community called New Medina. New Medina. And they have plans of constructing a boarding school. Businessmen from, I think it was Senegal, I'm not sure, from Africa, met with the leaders of New Medina to set up trade with them, to set up business opportunity with them. We can shop the world. We have it within us if we believe in the potential, the human potential they've got. And let us say this here. You know, let me say this. I was at a meeting once of social activists addressing some concern. After that, I stood up and I said, you know, we are under financial occupation. The facilitator of that meeting, he threw shade on that. He said, well, yes, that is what got Dr. Martin Luther King killed.
Mm.
We are not quitters. We should not let fear determine the future that we want for us and our children. We should not let fear stop us from establishing ourselves as full human beings. We have brilliant intellect among us. Trust the potential that God has placed within us. I'll stop right there. Is there anyone else that would like to let me open up the mic? If you, Brother Abdul.
Assalamu alaikum. It's time for a break, and we have four callers on the line who'd like to speak on our switchboard. They make brief statements after the break, and we'll take a quick break and come right back, and perhaps we can get those four callers that are on our switchboard. And sisters, we're going to have a very brief after show. Brothers, if you're on the line, this is the men-only show, so press one. Sisters, we're going to comment after the show. Give them an opportunity to tackle this issue, and we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And we'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents.
Visual on this.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Than ever. Every day, taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson. And I approve this message.
Paid for by Willow.
Kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willow Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves.
Unmuted.
I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Thank you.
Hi, Willie Wilson for Mayor.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and today is our men-only discussion, and we are discussing the topic, has integration and Caucasian validation harmed or helped the African-American community? This discussion is being led by our co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we have a number of guests and callers who have weighed in. So we're going to open the microphone of our next caller, and also want to acknowledge comments on our Facebook family.
Unmuted.
Zelda says, Grand Rising, O wise ones, those who are ready to hear will come forward. Amen, Brother Hamid, she says. And thank you for the comment. Says, looking lovely in my blue. Yes, wearing blue today. Yes. And Zelda says, amen to what the brothers have said on our Facebook page. Mojo Rising has said, Caucasian validation, we don't validate you. Where does this come from? So that is that thought shared. And Zelda says, Imam Hamid is right on target on business in the African-American community. This is exactly why Monday Morning Mindfulness will host part two of Why You Need to Learn Chinese to Teach Us to Do Business in China. And yes, we did talk about that, because we do need to see ourselves as global people and not just citizens of America. And I believe we're back with our co-host. And we've got several callers. We can have them briefly make a statement regarding this topic. I'd like to open the mic to someone who hasn't spoken. I'm going to take in this order, 314-677-425-520 and 773-960 and 773-984. So opening the mic. 314-677. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience, please, and give us your thoughts.
Well, there's some questions still within the question, because then you have to identify who are you talking to when people say us. Because I think what's happening is that you're trying to identify a all-encompassing group based on their skin colors. Is not lily white. Even Caucasian skin color is not lily white. So you have to identify who it is you're talking to. You know, one time the Nation of Islam had 250,000 members, and that was enough members to have their contingent within themselves. Well, they could have, like they mentioned in Haitians and Nigerians don't work together. Nigerians and Ghanaians in this country don't work together. And even Nigerians within Nigerians don't work together. They form a group on a like agenda, like mind and purpose. So I would have to say no. I say what you have here is in subcultures within American culture. And that exists practically any place in the world. I don't think it causes harm. If what it is you're going to do, go ahead and do it.
All right. Thank you. And thank you so much. And that was the voice of Pianke Bankole from St. Louis or wherever else in the world he may be. I'd like to take one more call before we switch back to your switchboard, if we may. 425-520. Please introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your brief comment on this topic?
Yeah, L.A., Central Florida. Just real quick, since we done put a color on it with Caucasian. On a critical mass basis, white folks have a highway going from A to Z. And everybody, regardless of color, is price conscious, and they look for comfort and convenience, and that's what a highway infrastructure represents. Now, you do have black infrastructure, but that's mostly in your rural towns, and like Freedom, Georgia Initiative, people like that, that are pioneers. But most people, including black people, don't want to pioneer anything. So until we learn how to build an infrastructure, and we do have examples of black infrastructure from A to Z in this country, about 800 or 900 examples, but they're very small. So until we get more people on a pioneer mindset and look at building an infrastructure for your whole life of living, then, you know, I don't think it's really so much color. It's, you know, you got to look at infrastructure. Right? So those are my comments.
All right. Thank you so much. L.A. Davis from Central Florida. And we've got one more. Oops, sorry. 773-960. Your mic is open. Please introduce yourself and give us your brief comments on this topic.
Good morning. This is Cooper James, the indigenous American, claiming my land in America. And more are doing that. That's the state of mind that we're in today. Yes, integration definitely has caused us kind of to step back a little bit, because now we have to share our resources and our time and give to other people who come in the country, because they actually, we're like a magnet. They cling to us because we are the original people on this continent who have created all the cultures that they use to have a better life. Look at the internet, all these challenges and things that black folks are creating, it ends up extending to other nationalities. Can't you see that? We are the I am, and we are the control of the culture here in America. We can't stop it. We've already done it. We've already rooted ourselves like that with our jazz music and blues. We are the culture. You see, so integration is kind of got us a little lukewarm like, but we're coming back. This new generation is seeking knowledge and figuring out, wait a minute, we've been taught wrong. Y'all lied to us. See, and the truth will set you free. Lies put you in bondage. And we're getting to the truth now. And a lot of black folks are like, oh, man, you don't do that. No, it's over. We are the head of the culture in this country. Stop saying we. Do I? We things are getting better. I don't have to tell people. I made two black guys millionaires last year. I don't talk about that. Everybody
all right.
Got their
well,
own
thank
little
you
thing
so
that it's doing. You know, have hope. All
thank
right
you
now.
So much. All right, we appreciate you. And that was Cookie James from Chicago. And if I may, I believe we have 773-984. You can introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comment.
Hello?
Yes. Well, hold that thought. We're going to have the sister's comment after the show. We're going to do a brief after show. So, Kareem, go right ahead. I think you have a caller on your line that hasn't spoken.
Yes, I'm calling on the comments of Abdul Shaheed. If he would like to share it this time, please do so, my brother.
Yes, sir. I agree with you wholeheartedly, brother and ma'am, that the Almighty has created us with everything we need inside of us already. We're looking for a solution outside of ourselves. We had civilization before slavery, and we are connected still to that civilization. Our genes connect us to our ancestors. We have our genes inside of us. They connect us to our ancestors. Within those genes are called nuclear histone. No nuclear histone being unfiltered knowledge, undistorted knowledge to our memory. And this is what we what has happened to us. We have received distorted knowledge, and we take it as the truth. But we've been lied to on so many different levels. But nevertheless, we have everything that we need to solve our problem. We have to take full responsibility for our own self. We can't blame anyone for anything. Whatever happened in the past has happened. Now we must take full responsibility, and we have everything that we need to do, to be ordered to enable us to do just that. And this is the human potential. You know, we are a new people on this planet, and we have all of the capabilities of anyone else on this planet. Thank you.
Yes. Very valuable commentary. You know, this is not a general statement that I'm getting ready to make. It is not a general statement, but it is a statement that must be made. If you look to your own needs, then there's a mind that will accuse you of not being universal, of not including everyone. Well, God says to us in the scripture, save yourself and your family mm-hmm. from a few, from the fire that is fueled by men and stone, the stone-hearted people, the errant mind. There's nothing wrong with you attending to your personal need like everyone else does. You are responsible for the condition in which you live. You take full responsibility. Praise be to God, there are efforts now that's in the embryonic state of establishing ourselves as human beings in certain enclaves in this country. There's nothing wrong with that. You are not being un-American. You are not being inhumane. It is human to first take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. You are responsible for self and our family. Look at our children. They are in an educational system that does not guide them to create on your own. To create and establish on your own. There's nothing wrong with becoming educated and taking that education and improve on yourself, your family, and your community. There's nothing wrong. What is wrong with it? Why do we feel somewhat threatened? Threatened. If you speak of your own need and the responsibility of establishing those needs, we are responsible for ourselves and our community. We are. And integration has watered down the potential that is within us. So we speak of the Oprah Winfrey. The Jay-Z, you know, we can point out people that we know are billionaires, and we become proud of them, but those are individuals. Let me point to a very important institution that we need. We need private schools. The public school system has failed America. America has to import brain power from Asia and other regions of the earth to keep this highly technological machine operating. That's a fact. That is, there's nothing wrong with us coming up with our own educational system. And coupled with the academics, there has to be also a moral teaching of what it means to be human, a moral teaching. There is a definite right and a definite wrong. It is not just material accumulation that brings about civilization. We talk about this Western civilization. Civilization points to civil behavior, how we treat ourselves and one another. That is a civilization. It's not the accumulation of building big buildings and science and technology. Those things are very valuable. But the human being cannot get the full potential of those things until the human being is brought back to his original nature, his original human content, his essence. To be human, human means having sensitivity, having a conscience. One brother spoke of we are in control of this culture. Well, look at the culture of America. They took the lowest of us, and they aggrandized thug life. Aggrandized, referring to women as female dogs, referring to each other as dogs. This drug culture have been fostered up on us. We are suffering from addictions, very expensive addictions, and it has caused a wave of crime across not just this country, across the world. So we need to know what it means to be civilized, and we can pass that on to our children. W.E.B. Du Bois said, we will progress to the extent that we teach our children to think for themselves, to be free thinkers, and not just going along with the status quo. We have the unique position as African Americans in this country to truly establish a civilization, human behavior toward each other, sensitivities about my fellow human beings. That is what it means to be human, And they denied us that. They try to thwart every opportunity for us to establish ourselves as human beings. The question was not whether you're black. The question is, are they human? We were treated and designated in the position of animals, So all I'm saying is that integration, it's somewhat diluted. It diluted that effort to establish ourselves as human beings. Those that established Rosewood and all of the other communities, they were expressing their humanity, not their blackness, their humanity. And they were willing to provide the need of human beings. That is where we are lacking at. We have the capacity. We have the capacity and the potential to supply all of our needs as human beings and be a model for the rest of the world. So this integration, it has its value, but if it dilutes or takes away from your expressing your humanity, then I see it as a minus. We got off track. We started partying. They introduced disco to us immediately after the human rights movement. And everybody started discoing and partying and just having a good time. Individual satisfaction instead of us as a group, us as a part of humanity. I mention these things because they are crucial now. And it is very important that we get back on track and stop following the thinking of other people. Trust your own mind. Trust what God has blessed you with. And the educated among us, we need you. We need you. Come back home. Come back. We fear our own children. We fear them because we have not provided a solid foundation under them. We have left them nothing. We are waiting on someone else to come and establish an economic floor for us, to provide jobs for us. We can create an economy ourselves if we see ourselves as a market and the world as a market. I'll stop right there. If there's anyone else that would like to share, your mic is open. Well, okay, let me see.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Michael Hameen. There are a number of issues that we have. The idea of integration, you know, means, you know, something that is not just done in terms of coming together with other social groups, but also coming together, as you so well speaking, to the idea of us coming together with our own selves. And a number of things that have taken place in the past that have been and have gone unresolved. You know, we have Dr. Phil and the internet, YouTube is full of presentations by clinicians.
Michael, I've been alerted. We have 60 seconds, unfortunately.
If you just go to YouTube, Kenneth V. Hardy, African-American clinician, and Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, K-O-L-K, the book called, well, anyway, just YouTube Bessel van der Kolk and the dealing with trauma. And, you know, we have some important issues to resolve. Thank you.
And let our audience know on the Female Solution Blog Talk channel. And if you're listening online, we're still live on Facebook. We're going to do a brief after show with the sisters to talk about what we've heard. And if you'd like to join us on Facebook, we're on www.facebook.com/TheFemaleSolution. And we will continue this discussion for a few minutes. And
the audio here. All right, here we go.
All right, we're going to play the ending real brief, and then we'll be right back. And we'll open all the mics and give you an opportunity to give us some reflections on what you heard and what you think. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution.
You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/TheFemaleSolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Geret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
And we are here in the after show. And just a few moments, we're going to open all the mics and give you an opportunity to speak your thoughts. One thing I would like to say is that I agree with the callers. I agree with the those who stated that they believe we have had a chance to rebuild our economy and did not do so because we've been trained to see ourselves as helpless. So, Rashida, I believe you're on the line. You had a thought you wanted to share? Go right ahead.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Rashida. You know, I was just listening to the conversations, and I think it's not the white people, it's the legislation that we don't do for ourselves, and so we have to abide by what the white people legislate into law, because this is the land of law. You know, this is the land of law, rules of law we have. But it's made by other people for their benefit. And ever since the Great Recession, well, we just had one in 2008, a recent recession with public aid and contracts and stuff like that. But because of the Great Recession and the legislative people who lobby for laws that affect them and theirs, we are the ones who are missing out because we don't do that. We don't legislate things. We let other people legislate and go to Congress and get laws and appropriations for their needs. But we sit back and say, oh, we're going to separate ourselves from government. We can't separate ourselves. No things have government. We people are the government. But we know we're not legislating things to heal. They came up with the hate crime bill. They came up with the hate crime bill because we have so much hate crime among ourselves. No, it's us. And when it comes to, and that's my personal opinion and my personal experience, because when I went out as an individual to get legislation. I didn't see a white or black person sign for money or come there unless they were at the appropriation committee testifying on behalf of a white organization. So we got to start looking at ourselves. You know, we point the finger at somebody else. People are people. And European people are very charitable, but they make laws that govern their people. We don't. We talk about what the white man did or what the white man didn't do, but we cause our own problems because we don't do for ourselves and our kind, and that's the problem. That's what I think. We need to do more when it comes to it.
I think Vika is on with a comment, and I agree, Rashida. We have to take responsibility for our own behavior, and I think that.
They came up with legislation with the food stamps and contracts. That put us behind economically because that gave us only a portion, not the full scope of things during the Great Recession. That's how it affects. And if you do any research, you'll find out the effects of the Great Recession when it comes to African Americans. So we call these things on ourselves. And if there's a heaven and a hell, I think white people are going to be most in heaven because they more charitable. Something can happen to our own people. The first thing we do is point a finger and say they're crazy because they got emotions or they got a common cause of an injury. Instead of reaching out like they used to do in the old days. But we don't do that. Not even in the mosque no more. Sister wouldn't be homeless. Not in the mosque. It used to be. But it's not even like that. So that means that Satan is really busy. And we are the best advocate of him. Because anytime you know that a black woman can get food stamps, they give the baby $400 for each child. But the black man out there selling dope and don't have a job. There's something wrong with the leadership. And then anytime you can see on a commercial TV stuff, a black man kissing a white man, and then a white man kissing a black man, and then a black man and a black woman got AIDS. Commercial. But we sit back and talk about the white man. No, we need to do for ourselves in our own time. And whatever affects us negative, we need to throw it out and do something positive, especially our mental health. Because this will drive you crazy. I'm trying to focus fear injury. That's the only time I know other than if I don't do the right thing, fear God's going to punish me because I believe in God. But these people are absolutely going crazy in our community.
That is something that we are responsible for. Rashida, hold a moment. I'm going to get a thought from Maika, who has joined us and has been working on quite a bit of solutions out with the farmers. We're growing our own food, which is what one of the things that was said, you know, the need to be self-sufficient and also create structures to organize. So, Maika, what do you think should be done at this point? We know what the problem is, the absence of belief in ourselves and the habit of looking at other people to validate what we do. How does that pattern of behavior change? What do we do?
Well, thank you, and thank you for the show. It's been very insightful listening to the brothers. They brought up a lot of good points. I really liked what brother, the brother who said that, you know, who is the we? Who are we referring to? You know, like, are we dealing from a racial perspective? Are we dealing with color of skin? How do we identify ourselves as a people? And I think we have to deal with the identity issue and come to some agreements as to who we are. Brother Joaquin Tyreek,
yeah, I think it was Tiaki that said that about the identity, yeah, and the fact that we have same colors but different nationalities. You got Haitians, Nigerians, Ghanaians. You know, you have a lot of different ethnic groups across America with darker skin and not necessarily identifying themselves with our experience of enslavement, because that didn't happen to everybody who's black.
Right, and also we have a lot of people who have married into the Caucasian race, and that children are, they can pass for white, for real. You have, my daughter married a Korean, her two children look Korean, totally Korean. They don't look nothing like black people. So we have all these different identities, and at some point we have to conclude, who are we and how do we identify ourselves? Brother Kareem, he was talking about how, you know, we're a new people. And I had advanced, and I'm advancing, African Nubian. And we're African Nubians, African Nubians. And that we redefine ourselves because we are a new being, and we come in all shades and colors. The common denominator is we were born in America, and we are children of former slaves. You know, that's one of the common denominators among us. And then some of us, even those who identify themselves as Native Americans like I do, even there you have, we were born in America and we were enslaved in America. So we have to really look at the identity question. The second issue we have to really focus on is the trauma that we experienced as a people, our ancestors, and how that trauma has never been addressed. And we've adopted, one of the systems of the European that we have adopted is the healthcare system. It does not stretch far enough to meet our needs. It doesn't answer the question of how do we heal the trauma. We have to heal the trauma. So we have all kind of people who have money, they have businesses. Many of them were traumatized, and they decided that I'm going to put some things around me to make me feel like I am somebody, because mama didn't want me, daddy didn't want me, and that's the impetus by which they have driven themselves to become so-called successful in America. But the trauma still exists, so they can't reach back to the community and see the suffering in the community and address it. A third issue that's become very predominant to me is the sexualizing of us during slavery. Now almost everybody sexualizes each other. Everybody is just a sex object. Even the children are being sexualized in the schools. Sexualizing for me is when you impose your sexual views, attitudes, and actions on a child. That's sexualizing that child. That child should be able to develop their own sexual understanding of themselves naturally as a biological being, just being taught basic things about what biology is. So we have a lot of issues that we really have to identify, and we cannot continue to ignore them. And the so-called mental health, it don't work. If any serious person who was in mental health, they would get together with others and say this prison system is detrimental to our well-being and the well-being of our people, the well-being of our fathers, our mothers, and the community. Now they're talking about a safety act where they're going to let people out of jail. Well, I mean, these people are damaged. They've been damaged in the prison. But there's no society of psychologists, psychoanalysts, or anybody who's coming together to say, let us create a system to help them make an adjustment to regular life and not impose that prison mentality on their families and the communities that they'll be residing in. That's not going on. We keep ignoring basic things that have to be addressed. So those are the things that's going on in my mind.
Well, I most certainly do agree. And I agree that we have become a new being. And the challenge that we have is the fact that each generation, we evolve into something else.
That's
we're marrying other cultures and traveling around the world. And so the identity that we're holding on to of former slaves, that is an experience that we had, but now we have other experiences on top of that. So Brother Kareem said we need to identify ourselves as human. Ultimately, every group has to, at the foundation, be a good human being. So how are we going to organize into a subgroup that can build a strong economy and a strong economic base as other ethnic groups have done if we're not clear on that process of creating a small group that empowers you with its economic infrastructure so that you may then go out and trade and do business with others and continue to enrich yourself. Well, we've got to go now, but next week we are going to talk about the new structure of a prison system that actually heals the hurt, a prison system that will be a place of healing, and solidify the wording for this legislation. We've been talking about it for a couple of years now, but we've identified an elected official who is willing to take this to the floor and actually make it law so that we can change what is happening in the prison system that is destroying people and making money and definitely not enhancing the health and well-being of the inmates. So we thank you so much. And Mama AZ, before we go, did you have a thought to share? Mama AZ, okay, I believe she may have stepped away or had to be occupied. And we thank you all for staying with us on this after show. And we will be back tomorrow. Join us for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, and returning on Dr. Green's show will be her guest from last week, the author who was so powerful with her book that she shared in overcoming horrendous conditions. The book Against All Odds by Janine Bradford Lee will be returning again. We had a little bit of a technical issue with the audio, so we want to make sure you hear all that she has to say, and she'll be able to stay with us a little longer this time to take your questions and comments as we look at the process of overcoming trauma, one person's personal trauma, but the methods for overcoming it can reach to all of us who are still carrying scars from the past. We need to let them go, and we need to redefine our direction, and we need to define our future, not based on the crippling of the emotional trauma of the past, but on the empowerment that is right in our hands. We'll talk about that tomorrow, and join us again next week as we address repairing our broken families here on The Female Solution with Naima Latif and Kareem Hamid. And until tomorrow, continue to shine your light. We'll see you then.